The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, so you're pretty well versed on what's going on in Washington, D.C. You're paying attention to Afghanistan. You know what's going on in Texas because of the abortion law that just went into effect there in the Supreme Court, which chose not to do anything, which was really nothing short of a miracle. You're, of course, paying attention to Joe Biden. Occasionally, you'll pay attention to maybe what's going on with Governor Cooper. But how much do you really know? And I would also add, how much do you really care about what's going on in quote unquote local politics, state level politics, local politics? And or do you think everything that matters is happening in D.C.? Actually, I would propose to you that I think it's the reverse, that if we're really going to see some changes take place in this country, it's going to have to start with your school board, your county, your city, your state. And so today we'll do a little lesson in that. Matthew Winslow is back in the House. Of course, we were talking to Matthew when he was running for office. God saw fit to see that he attained that office, North Carolina House District 7. Matthew Winslow, how are you?
Hey, Steve. Good to be here. Thank you.
So you want to go ahead and slam me for since this is the first time you've seen the new studio? Let's just get that out of the way.
Yeah, I couldn't even find the door. I didn't know where to go. Walking the hall, looking around.
You're feeling the love.
Yeah, the lady at the front, she says, sir, do you know where you're going? No, I don't.
No, because I've never been told where to go, at least in this case, by my quote-unquote, air quotes, friend, Steve Noble. Anyway, it's great to have you here now that the studio's all that much better.
Oh, yes.
Now, as a builder. And a custom builder at that, Matthew Winslow Custom Homes. Do you walk in here and immediately start kind of looking around and questioning decorating and the placement of doors? And do you think like a builder? Or do you not normally when you're outside of your context?
No, Steve, that's how you lose friends, okay? You walk in there and you tell them what's wrong with their house.
What's up with the house?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I just like, this is fantastic. I love it.
All right, so before we're going to talk about North Carolina politics, we're going to talk about something Matthew really wants to talk about today is you. So we're gonna get in your business. So Matthew wants to talk about you. What are you doing to impact politics? But COVID, a crazy economy, the housing market's nutty. How has that affected the new homes world? Because that's the world that you live in as a business, obviously, with Matthew Winslow Custom Homes. So how has that been for you guys?
We're struggling, Steve.
Yeah, tough.
You know, right now, I mean, with no one working, so our industry is somewhere between 20% and 40% down in the labor force. And so we're talking across the country. So, you know, we buy our windows and doors from Indiana and Kentucky, and we buy, you know, our faucets from, you know, Georgia and North Carolina, and they don't have the resources to maintain, you know, where we're at. And so it's windows and doors, it's fiberglass, it's plastic, it's lumber, I mean, you know, just across the board, it's everything. And so what's happening is it's causing everything to just stall.
Yeah, bottleneck.
It is. And so, you know, right now I keep telling my company and all the team members, say my job right now is to break it a log jam. And that's what I've been working on. I focus on most of the time just doing that.
I've probably never seen it like this before.
No, it's different. It's definitely a different feeling. But here's the reality of it. I'm a very positive person.
Yeah.
I look at it like this. It's a blessing, okay? It's a blessing that we have sales. I remember when we didn't have any. And so this is a new challenge in the world, and whatever it is God sends me, we're going to deal with it.
That's right. Yep. And that's the walk that we have, and that's the good thing. You go, whether business is up or down, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all temporary.
Absolutely.
Pretty sure we're not going to be worrying about Matthew Winslow's custom homes when we're in heaven. You'll probably be building. I mean, work will continue. I think it's going to be pretty awesome. But let's all remember, even with COVID and such, this is all temporary. And so make sure your house is built on the rock as opposed to being built on the sand. North Carolina politics. So you've been in for how long now? It was last November you won.
8 months.
So 8 months.
8 months, yeah.
So what is it like on this side of 8 months of being in the world of politics?
You know what? Now that I get my feet under me, I'm enjoying it. I really am. You see opportunity. And when people when you start sharing it with who you are, they start bringing your struggles to you, and they start sharing with you, and the people in your district say, hey, can you help me with this? And sometimes we can't, but a lot of times we can point them in the right direction of the people that can help them. And there is something to being a legislator, that you can walk in and you can say, hey, I'm Representative Matthew Winslow. Can you help this person? And they go, sure, we'll definitely help. And
yeah.
So, and I'm going to put a plug in for Michelle Kenney. She's my legislative assistant. I get the face. I get the name recognition.
Sure.
But she's the one behind the scenes that's pulling the strings and making things happen. And she does it every single day. So when here's what normally happens is that nice lady that I talked to, she was so funny. She did a great job. But Michelle really is the one that does all the hard work.
That's awesome. So. So after 8 months of experience, what's your view? How has your view changed on politics as well as on politicians?
I'm a politician now, Steve. He's talking ugly about me, you know? So,
well,
yeah.
I have a tendency to do that. But I also remind people, I'm like, listen, do you think that, and I'll do this with my students. Like I just started teaching again 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I have 7 classes. I have 115 students. And in my civics classes, I'm like, how many of you are just under the assumption that pretty much every politician is a scumbag? And like every hand goes up. And I say, the follow-up is always, do you know every politician?
Yeah.
No, you don't. So you cannot say that all politicians are this or all politicians are that. I think we have issues with most politicians, but there are plenty of politicians out there that are wonderful people that we can trust and we should go to.
Now, I'll tell you this, is that I didn't have any preconceived notions going in the House. I'll try to go in very open-minded.
Yeah.
I will say you have some very good men and women there that truly care and are trying to do the right thing. And that's one of the things that surprised me. And they, you know, you would think you would go in there as very divisive, everything else, but they really are trying to do what they think is best for the people in their district and state of North Carolina. So we are blessed to have those people. And so we have, I mean, there's a chapel there, and they have a prayer room, and then we have a regular chapel where you can pray, and he prays over, you know, everybody that's in the house. I mean, it is different than what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And what's nice is that being at state level, each one of them is connected closely with their district.
That's right.
And they know exactly who it is.
Much more personal.
Yeah. And you're talking about, just real quick, the being a politician, my brothers and sisters love it now. Okay. The reason they love it is they make jokes all the time. They text me awful jokes about being a politician, and they think it's the best thing ever. But just so you know, they all helped me get elected too, so they're part of it.
That's right. They're part of it. Now, what about politics, the process itself?
Making sausage, brother. Making sausage.
Ugly.
Just so you know, the process when you get elected is they give you 2.5 days of training and they get to work. I don't know how to do it. And you have to figure it out as you go along. Wow. And so it's a little frustrating at first. But the reality of it is that, you know, it's not one linear path. There's multiple paths to success. And as long as you're diligent, keep your nose down, work hard, you can accomplish a lot of things. And I'm going to brag a little bit. I introduced 5 bills, okay? 5 bills as a freshman is a big deal. They told state of 1 to 3. I did 5, okay? And then all 5 of mine made of a crossover, and I've had 2 of them already pass the House, the Senate, and then Cooper has signed off on them.
Wow.
Yeah. For a freshman, that's a big deal.
That's a big deal. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that. That's a pretty good freshman year. We'll talk about that, the different things that Matthew's working on. Then we're going to end up talking about you, because we're going to talk about something that Matthew's excited about and probably frustrated about it like I am, which is involvement. How involved are you? You probably scream at the TV, you scream, you throw stuff on social media, you're exercised about it, but do you actually do anything about it? That's the difference. All that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. We'll be right back.
Some new music.
New music, new location, but what would I know, because all I ever do is phone it in. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show with my, well, he's my friend. He's a good friend. Matthew Winslow, who's serving the great state of North Carolina, North Carolina House District 7. Also, you probably recognize his name because you hear me talking about his business on the air regularly. So we're partners as brothers in Christ and as Carolinians and as business guys and as people that care about our state and our nation. And so Matthew's been serving for 8 months now, got elected last year. So it was cool to watch that happen. But now you're down in the nitty gritty. So thanks for sharing just about your entrance into that world and what it's like dealing with politicians and politics. By the way, let me ask you this question real quick, and then I want to talk about some of these initiatives, because Matthew was sharing before the break how he's had 5 pieces of legislation as a freshman. They said, 1 to 3, and a couple of them have already gone all the way through, and that's exciting. So we're going to talk about those things, because there's some really important stuff that Matthew's working on. But what does it mean to you as somebody serving, in this case, North Carolina House District 7, but in North Carolina, when you find out that people are praying for you? What does that mean to you?
It gives me goosebumps. It just absolutely breaks my heart, too. I mean, because I have, like, just this morning, I just saw my good friend Jim Doherty. I was having breakfast with one of the people from work. He walks over, shakes my hand, and says, I pray for you every day.
Oh, man.
I mean, You know the power in prayer, and I do too. And when someone says that, I mean, it's a blessing. I mean, it is one of the best gifts you never get. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, my back is straight. I'm feeling strong again.
that encouragement.
Know? And that's the thing is that when you find that out, that someone's praying for you, all of a sudden, you know, whatever you're dealing with in life just kind of goes away.
Yeah.
God's on your side.
That's right.
God's on your side.
Yeah, we share one another's burdens, which is the way it's supposed to be. Jesus' yoke is light and easy. It's not heavy and hard. So something for all of us to remember. Okay, let's start going through these. Here's the list. So I get Matthew's email so that I know what's going on and what he's working on. And some really important legislation here. So go in whatever order you want. I just want people, especially in North Carolina, to understand what's going on down there in Raleigh, what kind of things are being developed and pushed through.
So just so you know, my wife writes this for me, okay?
I can tell.
Yeah, absolutely. I give her all the information. She's the one that does a fantastic job at it.
That's cool.
Everybody that says what a great job, they love the newsletters, it's because my wife does a fantastic job.
Okay,
let's go with that. All right, increased penalties for rioting and looting. All right, this, I mean, it's you would think this is common sense stuff, Steve.
Yes, because of last year.
Absolutely, yeah. And so what this does is it gives the power to our police officers to enforce the law, and it does things like, which I never realized was, I mean, it increases some of the penalties and fines for it, but also what it does, it punishes those that are sending people to riots. So Steve Noble, you know, pays Matthew Winslow to go to Raleigh and go there and just tear the place down. Guess what? You're held just responsible at a higher penalty. So the thing that people complain, well, why are they sending busloads of people? Because they were
right.
doing it intentionally.
And it works.
It works. And so what this does is it actually punishes them for it, and which is what the greatest part of the legislation. So that was the focus on it. It's like, hey, we are no longer going to accept that we're allowed to come tear down our town. We're going to hold you responsible for
and
it.
And I assume the reaction for the people on the right, for the Republican Party, was good. What was the reaction from the left?
Oh, we already have laws in the books for this.
Of course.
And if that was the case and our police officers could be duly charged and allowed to do these kind of things, you know, why are we still having this issue?
Jeez.
And so, you know, if there is no punishment, there is no enforcement.
Right. That's exactly right. If you don't punish, then whether you have a law in the books or not, it's irrelevant. So where is that one at this point?
House has passed, Senate has passed, and now it's in the governor's office.
Yeah. Okay. That tells me all I need to know. Okay. Let's do the next one. Now, this one, Mark Robinson's been on.
Yes.
Critical race theory.
Oh, yes.
This is, and we're going to talk about this with Matthew when we talk about all of with you and me having a role in what's happening in our culture. But Prevent Indoctrination in Schools, HB 324. Mark has been all over this. This is a big deal. This is why I'm teaching U.S. history now. And in terms of citizen involvement, I've never seen so many videos of parents at school board meetings, which is awesome. And we're going to get to that.
Absolutely.
But this sounds like a really, really important piece of legislation.
The central part of it, Steve, is we're not going to teach that one race is better or worse than the other.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Based on your sex or your race. That is the central part of the legislation. And I can't believe the pushback that we're getting on it that it's not fair, it's not right, you know, all these other kind of things. And you shake your head and actually someone took a picture one time and I was like, is this
a look on your
face? This look on my face. Yeah, I keep forgetting I'm on radio. This look on my face like it, and that's the shocking part about being in politics, because my brain doesn't go to that place. My brain goes, well, this makes common sense.
It's common sense.
It is, right. And so I've had to readjust that. Don't be so shocked, Matthew, and in this case, that's what it is. And if you say that, this is part of the civil rights. This is everything has to do with all these years we have been fighting for as Republicans and conservatives. And so here we are. We're saying we want to codify this and say this is – because here's the thing. Durham County – other counties have started adopting this into their curriculum and say, we're going to teach critical race theory, that one race is better than the other, or that one race is
dominant. And if you have darker skin, you don't have a shot. I mean, it's really amazing what it does, and it just makes you either not believe in it, you lose your hope, or you have false guilt, or you just start looking at the world through black, yellow, white, everything. They resegregate the country.
Absolutely.
That's really what they're
doing. That's exactly what's happening.
So where's that one at?
It's passed the House.
It's in the Senate.
I think it just passed the Senate. Just this week it passed the Senate.
And then it goes to Governor Cooper's office.
Yes. So he's already told us he's going to be
tough. Let's start playing taps. Yeah. Okay. This one was interesting. Ensure nursing home visitation rights. See, that sounds like common sense to me.
Yes.
I'm like, why are we even talking about that? That should already be there. But what's the deal?
During COVID, you know, in all this time, we restricted access to the executive order restricted access to our nursing homes. And so we had, you know, older men and women that were dying without their loved ones with them. And so what this does is says you can no longer do that. You have to allow access. Priests have to have access. And so now we're providing access to those that need us during those times. So no longer can we say, because of emergency mandate, that we can no longer have access to them. And I've got some personal friends that went through the same thing and absolutely it was wrecking their lives. And so it's not so simple as like, well, we could have done better for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't want to drive COVID into our nursing homes, and I 100% agree with that, or into our hospitals, but there is no reason we couldn't have a loved one with their side when they're dying.
Yeah, it's just remarkable. Has that been bipartisan or not?
Yeah, I can say it is bipartisan for that one, definitely.
Oh, that's good to hear. All right, cool. All right, this one kind of surprised me, especially when you told me why. Improve care of pregnant inmates.
Steve. I think that's one of the things we're talking about is like, why do we have to legislate common sense? That's
right.
That is one of the things that shocks me.
Do we need a law for common human decency?
Common decency. And this came out of, and this is bipartisan, two ladies, one the Democrats, one on the as a Republican on our side, came together and said this was an issue. And they had a lady that had a child in prison and had her handcuffed during the whole thing. While she's giving birth. And I don't know the situation. I wasn't a part of it and everything
sure.
else. But here we are. We're having to codify, just common sense into the law so to say that you can no longer do this. And it's rough. And so she's talking about this story, and it's not the first time. And other things have happened, and you're just breaking your heart thinking, could you imagine?
What's going on?
I realize we don't know what these people go through every day, and I don't want to harass them for it, but what this does at least provides a guidance for it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. How often does the public get involved with any of this stuff? Would you say that most people don't really know what's going on?
Most people don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem. And so things are going on, and you're like, how could this happen? Well, it happened because we were too busy watching Netflix. So we're going to get to that part, but when we come back, we have three more pieces of legislation that are really important. Support law enforcement, enhance accountability in policing, and support foster parents and children. We're going to get to those, and then we're going to talk about your place and mine and this whole notion of politics and trying to infect and impact the culture around us. This is Steve Noble with Matthew Winslow. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today. Hope you're going to have a great Labor Day weekend. I will not be in here on Monday. I will be in New York City next Friday. I'll be broadcasting from a conference up there that Ann Graham Lotz and the New York Times bestselling author Joel Rosenberg are doing about 9/11. They're going to have people that were involved in 9/11 and first responders, and also look at how the Middle East has changed since 9/11 in the last 20 years. So I'll be up there for that, flying up on Thursday. So I'll do the show live from New York City on Friday. Today I'm here with Matthew Winslow. Monday I'll be off. I don't even know what show I plugged in for Monday, so don't worry about it. Actually, if you're listening to me on Monday, you're totally doing the wrong thing with your Labor Day. Spend the day with your family. Thank God for the fact that whatever blessings you have. And if you listen to the radio show on Monday, shame on you. You got better things to do. Okay, so take the day off. Talking to Matthew Winslow, North Carolina House District 7. And it's great to have a friend and a brother that's down there. And somebody that you can cheer on and somebody that you can pray for. But you also have to engage as well. We're going to talk about that in a second. Three more pieces of legislation that Matthew's been a part of. Support law enforcement mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is probably... this has always been a big issue. And if you start looking at the divorce rates for fire, police, first responders, military, it's 70% plus. It's brutal.
Oh, yeah.
And then you take everything that's happened since BLM and George Floyd and all of that mess and the valid parts of it, the invalid parts of it. Man, what a bad season to be a police officer.
And what a way for evil to turn good things bad. I mean, and demonize those that are protecting and loving on us. I mean, that... You ask yourself, if 5 years ago I said this is what's going to happen, you'd probably slap me and say, your mind.
Yep.
Absolutely not.
Defund the police?
Yeah.
What, are you kidding me?
And that tells you how good the evil one is. He takes a small thought and can twist it and work it in people's minds and all of a sudden make it a narrative.
Yeah.
And so that legislation and also enhance accountability in policing. I mean, those two go side by side, and that's why that's why they put them through at the same time. Enforce accountability in policing. It's like you're standing there with a brother, and he's doing something wrong, but you feel like you can't do something about that. What this does is it empowers you to say that what you're doing is not okay. And I'm oversimplifying it. I'm not there with the police officers, and I don't know all the stuff that they go through. All I do is I can have some empathy for them. Yeah, empathy for them. You know, because I mean, they're going through a lot of things, and they're having to make split-second decisions. So what that does is empowers them and also says, hey, we're, you know, as a state, we're with you and behind you. And then the same thing for the mental health. These guys are going through. I mean, you said it, 70%. I mean, that's it's tough.
Brutal. 70%
every day.
Plus.
Yep. So.
So is that something from a legislative perspective that – like where, what would be the genesis of something like that? Is that observational? Well, that by pop politicians inside the legislature, and you're like, okay, let's assume because it's accurate that our police are struggling, or is that something where the police might come to you guys and say, hey, we need some help on a state level?
So this was actually something that was pretty cool. They created a study group, and they put some politicians together. They put the Sheriff's Association, the Police Association. I forget all the different groups that were involved in it, and they got together and they helped draw up the legislation. So it wasn't like Matthew Winslow sat down and said, I think this would be a great idea.
That's what I think they need.
Yeah, we brought in people from all angles and looked at it and said, what can we do to help our people that are in, you know, the police, fire, rescue, you know, all the ones that are first responders.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good to hear. And then, now here's another one. Here we are back to common sense stuff. Support foster parents and children, which is a very broad title.
Yes, it is.
So what's this bill about?
So the state is moving, and I agree with it, the state wants to move more from an orphanage model to putting children in homes, right? And I would say homes like Steve Noble with his wife, and you guys are, you're caring, you're loving on kids, and you're helping them get to adulthood. And a lot of times, it's 16 to 17 years old is about the time, you know, these kids are like, well, you know, I'm ready to go off my own.
I mean, it's tough.
And so what it is, they realize the value of having a father and a mother in your household, and then we'll put them in that household. And now what we can do is go out, and instead of put them in a block scenario, we put them in households. And so you can love them, you care them, you can cherish them. And so they come out better that way versus being in an orphanage.
Yeah, so we're just trying to push to more adoption model in homes as
exactly.
opposed to going to an orphanage, which sounds like an old-fashioned term, but that's still out there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's step back a little bit, 30,000 foot. How do you feel just about the state of North Carolina right now in general?
I think right now everybody's nerves are raw with COVID and everything's politicized.
Everything.
You can't say anything. You know, you say one thing and someone snaps on it and they're saying, you know, and so everybody's nerves are raw. I mean, and that's the truth. Like the rest of the country, what's going on. And so when you're looking at state, I'll say this. Let's start with the economy. Okay.
Sure.
Our state is better off than the rest of the country.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Low tax rates. We have plenty of cash on hand. So if something does go south, we have the cash on hand to take care of it. We're funding infrastructure like it's never been done before. We're funding health care like it's done before. We're doing a lot of things that have never done
without
before.
Uncle Joe's money? Are we doing that with our own money?
Well, we can do both. That's what's great about us. We don't need the federal money, but I'm not going to say we are.
Right. They're sending it.
They're sending it to us. And what we're doing with it, and that's what's great about our budget, is we're using it to invest in infrastructure, not in long-term expenses or anything else like that that's going to continue to cause, you know, us to fund in the future. We're using it for infrastructure, water, sewer, those kind of things.
Real infrastructure.
Real infrastructure, yep. And so we're using that money wisely. And then at the same time, we're doing all this because even at a lower tax rate, we brought in more total tax dollars, so we're reducing taxes.
Yeah.
We're also putting money away. We put in this year's budget, we're putting about $2 billion in our rainy day fund.
Wow.
So if a hurricane blows through,
sure.
we don't have to worry about, you know, dipping into something we don't have or borrowing against our kids' future. We have that money now on hand.
How does that go with the people on the other side of the aisle when you're kind of being normal, like the rest of us have to live, the way you have to run your business, the way I have to run my business, where it's the bottom line, that's the deal. If you don't have it, don't spend it.
Yeah.
But how do those conversations go with the Democrats on the other side?
Well, you know, it's a difference of opinion where money should be spent, and that's what it was. Now, I'll tell you, the House budget, we had nine Democrats cross over with us and vote with us,
wow.
you know, which is great. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Yeah, that's pretty amazing, right? And so right now we're in conference between the Senate and the House trying to get a budget approved. But most of it comes down to is where the money is being spent. And that's where the conflict comes, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's a much bigger – we're really opening something up to dig into. But that's where it boils down to.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And what about COVID, vaccines, vaccine mandates, the concern now that with the Delta variant – and this is a moving target all the time. Nobody knows who to trust. Most people distrust most other people. It's really a big mess. I think Cooper and Mandy Cohen have been pretty draconian about these things. Do you hear from constituents often about the whole vaccine question?
Every day. Yeah. Nurses contacted us with this whole new, where the hospitals are saying, you've got to be vaccinated to work here, all that kind of stuff. And they're thinking, wait a second, I've just worked the past year and a half through COVID, you know.
The front line, we're calling them heroes.
And now you're telling them I'm losing my job. And so we had them crying. I mean, we've had all kinds of things with that. And what I've been advising everybody is that, you know, as far as when it comes to what should I do, should I get vaccinated, should I not get vaccinated, number one thing, go to your doctor. Don't listen to politics. Don't look at Facebook. Don't anything else. People are making decisions because they think that they're being pressured through social media, whoever else.
One way or the
other. Friends are telling them, say, you have a family doctor. Go ask your family doctor. The person that knows and trusts and loves you and is going to care for you no matter what and knows long-term. If they say get vaccinated and it's your doctor, that's what you should do, you know, not listen to all the nonsense that's going out there.
Yeah, so that's a common thing. Is that a common topic down in the halls of the legislature?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Is there really anything? I don't know if there's anything you guys can do in terms of a mandate. This is where Biden has had a prescient moment when he's pushing for private industry to do vaccine mandates because they said from the start, federal government is going to do it. We don't need vaccine mandates. Well, they don't have to because they've got the private sector that's going to do it for them.
Yeah.
But is there really much that can be done? DeSantis has tried in Florida, but he's the governor.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have a governor who's going to do that. He'll do the opposite.
We've got a bill or two, or a couple of bills that have passed through addressing vaccine passports. You know what I mean? All right, so we're talking earlier about CRT, right, and what's going on. So let's talk about the minority community. Minority community is the least vaccinated group, all right? And what we're going to see is we're going to have vaccine passports that says you can't go to a grocery store. The poor and impoverished, that we're going to tell them they haven't got a vaccine, they don't, and now you can't go to the grocery store and we're going to cut them off there. That
sounds like 1950.
It absolutely does. Let's put a star on my shirt, okay,
right,
and let's walk around and say, no, you can't. You can't have this. And we've separated people and we're classifying them. And that is wrong. And so we passed a bill through the House and in the Senate and says no to vaccine passports. So this would be, you know, it's unconstitutional to do these things.
The state can't do it. But there's still going to be a battle on the private sector level.
And that's a good topic to have. And a lot of people are saying, why can they do this? Well, it's the same reason why the cake baker can decide who he wants to bake cakes for.
Right.
And so as a private industry, you know, and in your company, in your business, we can't tell them those things.
That's right.
Right?
No shoes, no shirts, no service.
Exactly.
We're okay with that mostly.
But what you do is you walk and you go somewhere, the place that provides that service. You know, and that's what we do. And that's the foundational values of freedom in America, is we walk and we talk and we go to the places that are going to go according to what we believe.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll be interesting to watch in New York City. So I'll be up there next weekend. September 11th is that Saturday. The 12th is Sunday. Monday the 13th is when they're supposed to allegedly start enforcing the vaccine mandates there to go into all these different places. And it's going to be interesting because they have a growing number of small businesses that have teamed together in a class action lawsuit to sue de Blasio, saying, you're going to train wreck our business.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what's going to happen. Because you go look at the vaccination rates in Manhattan or in the boroughs where you have a lot of minorities, and the vaccination rates are much lower than the national average. And all of a sudden, you're going to start destroying businesses.
Absolutely.
And that's what we need to see. I keep encouraging people, fight. Don't just sit there and do nothing. Try to talk to a lawyer. Try to get some representation and fight. You have to get involved, which is what we're going to talk about in the last segment of the show with Matthew Winslow, who represents North Carolina House District 7 here in the great state of North Carolina. Here on the Steve Noble Show, your involvement, what can you do? We'll talk about that when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here today with my good friend Matthew Winslow, who represents the good people of North Carolina House District 7, which, if you don't know where that is, how do you describe that to people? They're like, where's House District 7?
It's all of Franklin County and southern Nash County.
So those are outside of Raleigh.
Yes.
And mostly rural.
There is a place outside of Raleigh.
Yes, there is?
Yes.
Oh, I fly over it. Okay. So that's mostly rural.
Yes.
And how would you describe life in those rural areas outside of Raleigh? Because a lot of people are coming out your way, man. You're getting invaded.
So we are, which is nice, we're a split. We have suburban areas where we have housing and subdivisions, that kind of stuff. And then you go north and you cross over the Tar River. It's very rural. You know, we have farms and, you know, horse farms and cow farms. And, you know, they're growing tobacco and sweet potatoes and all those kind of things. And you've got southern Nash County, which is, again, it's an area that's getting close to growing. But, again, it's farming community and small towns.
Yeah, yeah. Which is kind of cool because you got a little taste of everything.
Absolutely.
Two other things on the national level. Well, one in Texas and one on the national level. Then we'll talk about our involvement. Did you have constituents or people talking about it? I'm sure it was a discussion with your fellow representatives about everything that happened in Afghanistan? Is that something you guys are? Does that factor in? I don't know how it would factor in North Carolina, other than we had a lot of soldiers from Fort Bragg out there. But how did you guys kind of deal with that as a North Carolina representative?
It's at the state level. There's not a whole lot we do, but we do talk about it, and we pass a resolution. We're urging Biden to stop doing the nonsense that he's doing. That there was a better way to do it. You need to protect our soldiers, protect those people. I mean, we literally left Americans over there, and it was a conscious choice. It wasn't like we didn't realize there was these people there.
He wanted to pop a cork when he said we got 90% of the people out, 90% of the Americans out that wanted to get out.
Yeah,
you just admitted, sir, that you left 10% behind.
And here's the thing. Every Democrat, every Republican in the House voted for that resolution.
Really?
Absolutely. Yep.
That's good to hear.
Yes. And so, I mean, let's talk about we realize what's going on. Whether you're Republican or Democrat makes no difference, and that what's going on is wrong.
That's so good to hear.
And about Barbara Maharlin, way over here, as I was listening to one of the talk shows, and they were talking about, they were interviewing the dad of one of the sons that died. And he was the one that was brought home and then sent back. And he was in the 13 that died in that bombing. And so you think about the emotion that I'm happy that my son is home now.
Yeah.
But now we're going to send him back for this short period of time.
And then he dies.
You know. And they set up a fund for him, all kind of stuff. And I was sitting here, I'm driving. I'm trying not to drive through stoplights because I'm, you know, onions in my eyes. Man. You know, it was tough.
Horrific. What about the, for those of you that don't know Matthew, he's been very involved, very supportive of the pro-life community for years. The bill in Texas, which they passed, which basically said as soon as you can detect a fetal heartbeat, abortion is illegal. Usually you can detect a heartbeat by about 6 weeks. Most women don't even get abortions till 8 to 10 weeks. So it's effectively banning abortion in Texas. And not only that, if you do perform an abortion after 6 weeks, that's prosecutable. So this is a major law.
Oh, yeah.
It's a shocking law for most people in America. Obviously, the people on the left and the pro-choice crowd is going absolutely ballistic.
Right.
For the Supreme Court to say we're not going to touch it was also shocking. You can partially thank Donald Trump for that, by the way, because three of his justices were the ones that said, no, thank you. Mm-hmm. We're going to leave it alone. But for somebody that serves as an elected official, is a follower of Christ and a very pro-life person, how do you look at something like that in Texas?
Oh, I love it. Amen, brother.
High five.
Thank you to those legislators for having a backbone to be able to do something like that. And most people don't realize, like Roe versus Wade, the decision that was made is that when life is viable, that's when the decision should be made, right? So that was a decision based off in the 70s.
In 1973.
Right? Yes. And so we should absolutely have legislation that matches. I want to be no abortion zero. It should be illegal.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But the further we can move that line, the happier it makes me. And the fact that those politicians said, yes, this is what we're going to do, and we don't care what's going to happen. We want to protect babies. I'm all over it.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's pretty awesome.
And we did a bill here, and it was to protect the children with Down syndrome.
Yeah.
We passed the House and passed the Senate. And did it pass the Senate? I'm trying to think if it passed the Senate, if it was vetoed. I don't remember all of it. But the Democrats voted against it.
Yeah, it didn't pass.
You know, and I'm thinking, what? Why? That?
And that's eugenics, plain and simple. That's all that is.
It's eugenics.
Oh, absolutely. I don't want a kid with Down syndrome, so we'll just take him out.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I mean, things like that break your heart. And so, I'm a pro-life. My mother had me at 17 years old, you know, and if you're in high school at 17 years old, well, you need to have an abortion. Because why? Because you're going to encourage other young ladies to do it. And so, for me, I'd be hating myself if I was pro-choice.
Yeah.
So
yeah, great point. Okay, you wanted to talk about citizen involvement.
Absolutely.
Why?
Steve, the number one thing I see right now is I have people contact me and say, what should I do? And I say, well, you need to get involved. And a lot of times the response is, I don't know if that's what I want to do. What else can I do? You know? And the thing is that I'm going to tell you right now, politicians are weak kneed, right? And they go with the winds a lot of times. Yeah. And so, and I'm not going to talk ugly about politicians. That's not really what it is. But when they see that the shift has changed and they're moving that direction, you know, voices speak up. And it needs to be at the local level. I appreciate people that are upset about national politics,
sure.
And we should know about it, and we should be involved in it, but it starts at the local level. I mean, let's talk about the CRT stuff. I guarantee you that if a bunch of mothers showed up at a school board meeting and said, we're not okay with this, they would change it, right? A lot of these things would happen. But when only three or four show up, it's not enough people to make a difference. And so what we need to do And a lot of times people are saying, well, I don't want to say anything because I don't want my neighbor to be upset at me. I don't want to lose any friends. Well, you can be active and not lose friends. You can be active and still love on your neighbor like you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, well, we used to have this concept in America where you could actually agree to disagree.
Absolutely.
Hold your positions. Don't give up. I don't compromise an inch on truth. But I can have civil relationships with people, and I can and still have a friend,
yep.
And even though we might not agree on politics.
And, Steve, it goes like this. I mean, you and I, we have similar values and beliefs.
Yeah.
Okay? We walk side by side. But you and I talk about politics, and we talk about the same things we believe in. We're not doing any good except for driving each other up. Okay?
That's right. That's
what
right.
We have to be willing to do is you go love on your neighbor, and you get to know him, and you say, here's why I believe what I believe. And it's not because what I want to do is that I'm trying to just go in there, and I want to make sure they understand how I believe. It's I want to change the hearts and minds of people, and I want to love on them. Love thy neighbor. That's our number two commandment. That's what we've got to do. And if we go out there, we love on our neighbor, and we share with them, this is why I believe. We don't have to agree on everything, but we can obviously agree it's not the right direction we want our school boards to go,
yeah.
Our county commissioners, our town council, our state, and those kind of things. And then you start growing. You know, we're creating disciples. We're supposed to do that. Number one
that's
thing.
Right.
And that's what I do. So when I go talk to people and I share with them, say, get outside of your submarine, get outside of your echo chamber, go talk to other people, you know, and that's going to change and grow and change, you know, the way our country's going.
That's right. What works? Because that, you know, people will go, hey, we're going to have a rally downtown for a day. And I say, well, you'll make yourself feel better, but you're not going to make a difference.
No, it won't.
So what actually works? What can people do? And we've talked about prayer. So prayer isn't the only thing you can do, but you should do nothing without it. Okay? So if you're not praying for those in authority over you, first of all, you're in sin. So repent. But then pray for those in authority. That's why go to pray1tim2.org. I'll put it up on the Facebook live feed right now. Then you'll get an email every day, which will give you a list of people you can pray for. One on the federal level and the rest are on the state level in terms of the Senate and in the House. You'll see Matthew Winslow show up every once in a while. So make sure you're doing that. But what else can we do that actually matters?
Calling your politicians makes a big difference. Emails are great, but you know how many emails come in every day?
Right.
And a lot of them are, you're part of an association. The association says, contact your legislators, and you hit the button, it goes out, and it's a form. Now, look, we respond back to everyone that's in our district. I mean, regardless if it's a form or whatever else.
Right. That's outside your district.
Yeah, outside district. But when someone calls my office, and I say a little pink slip that Steve Noble called, and he gives me my phone number, and I need to talk to him about something, I'm going to call them back.
That's different.
And most legislators will, because it draws their attention to somebody that cares enough to make that effort. You know you can walk right into General Assembly? Did
yeah,
you know that?
I know.
Yeah.
You can literally walk in the
you
building.
You literally walk in the door and say, can I get a meeting with Matthew Winslow? Can I get a meeting with somebody at some other district? And you may not get it right then and there, but or you can call and get a meeting, and you can sit in and have a conversation one-on-one. I have lots of those. You talk about how impactful it is when you look somebody in the eye and you say, you know, here's how I feel and here's what I think. And it doesn't have to be with someone that believes like you do.
Right.
You go talk to the ones that don't believe like you do.
Yeah, and that's like an evangelistic thing in the political realm. Evangelism is going to do no good if all you're doing is talking to believers.
Absolutely.
You can talk to unbelievers. So, I used to know the stats. It's probably 1,000 to 1, people that would send an email versus people that would call.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, because emails just get... Like we all do. Go look at your spam folder or your junk folder or your trash folder, and you'll see what you do with emails. And politicians largely do the same thing, unless it's literally somebody from their district. Phone calls have a huge impact. What about if we mail you something? If we mail you a letter, we mail you a postcard, or we stop in person, does that get on the radar screen even more than a phone call?
I would say even a typed letter with a signature and a phone number makes a big difference. It definitely does. That's at the state level. At the local level, you need to show up at meetings and speak up.
Yeah.
And you need to let the Holy – you say, I'm not a good public speaker. It doesn't matter. Let the Holy Spirit take over, and you speak your mind, and you say, here's how I feel about it. And don't show up by yourself. Bring your friend, bring your neighbor's friends and everybody else, and they need to come along with you, and they need to support you, and they need to understand why. That's the movement that needs to change in this country. We can no longer be scared. Our founding fathers signed that document and said – we know we're going to lose our fortunes.
That's right.
We're going to lose our lives. Not only are they going to lose their lives, their wives and their children and everybody else will be wiped off this earth if it's not successful. And we have learned, we have thought, well, if we just type it in on social media, we've done our job. Social media keeps you in your submarine.
That's right.
Okay. It only shows Steve Noble what Matthew likes because we have similar interests. It doesn't go into the.
That's firing spitballs from 30,000 feet.
That's absolutely.
Really what that is.
It
as
does.
Opposed to getting face to face. And that's the thing. Most people don't know where the legislature is. They've never been down there. And don't assume that just because you're some little old taxpayer that a legislator won't pay attention to you. If you call and ask for an appointment, you're going to get one.
Absolutely.
If you show up and ask for an appointment, you're going to get one. And that has a huge impact. Listen, we've done rallies. I've had 3,000-4,000 people down there outside the legislature. And that's great. It made me feel good. And it got on the news. But I don't think it moved the ball much. But once you start engaging face-to-face, you go sit down with somebody, that's a totally different game.
It makes a big difference.
And that's what we need to do. And, by the way, here's a shocking thing. Go find your legislator in the Senate and the House at the state level. Go meet with them. talk about the things that you're concerned about, and then do something really radical and ask how you can pray for them, and then pray for them before you leave their tiny little office.
Absolutely.
Because that would be an awesome thing to do as well.
It would shock them for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it would. Matthew Wenzel, always great to see you. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks,
finally.
Steve. Absolutely.
And now you know where to find me, so I can't hide.
Enjoy it like always. Thank you.
It's great to have you. Thank you for your service. Always great seeing you. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
All right.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.